to the Buckmaster Show. It is Monday, the 31st of October, 2011. Hope you had a great weekend. Happy Halloween, everybody. Hard to believe. What are we, 2 months away from New Year's Eve? I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030, known as The Voice, and it is Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. And our simulcast partners giving us fantastic reach from one end of Southern Arizona to the other. Let's thank our friends in Gila County, listening to us in Globe out of KJAA AM 1240. And in Douglas, folks listen to us on KAPR AM 930, serving Cochise County. The Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming of the program at buckmastershow.com, along with an archive of previous programs. Plus, The Buckmaster Show can be heard anytime at TucsonSentinel.com. Check out The Sentinel. It is Southern Arizona's online news service. We are live Monday through Friday from noon to 1. Today's lineup, if it's Monday, that means political face-off time on The Buckmaster Show. We have two regular teams of commentators, our friend Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. Paul, or Bruce likes to say they're the A-team, but I think the gentleman with me in studio would take issue with that. John Munger and Vince Robago, they consider themselves to be the A-team.
Of course we're the A-team.
No doubt. The other two can only hope, but, you know, we give them kudos for trying.
And someday here on the Buckmaster Show, we'll face off the two teams. At 30 minutes past the hour, we will have a newsmaker interview with a man in charge of Arizona's public school system. That's John Hoopenthal. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. Call us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040, or toll-free 1-866-725-5467. You can also email your questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. And it is the Monday Political Face-Off featuring commentators John Munger. Mr. Munger, a Tucson attorney, he's also a former Republican candidate for Arizona governor in 2010. Vince Robago was a 2010 Democratic candidate for Arizona Attorney General, and he is an attorney here in Tucson. The Monday Political Face-Off is presented by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your wall, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Well, it has been 45 days since the Occupy movement began. 6 weeks ago in Lower Manhattan to decry corporate influence in government and wealth inequality. It has spread to cities including Tucson, where 350 citations have been issued to the Occupy Tucson members in a park. I believe it's Armory Park in downtown Tucson. Demonstrators have spent weeks camped out in parks and wearing at the patience of city officials. Vince Robago, let's begin with you. Has the Occupy movement put the dialogue, this wealth inequality dialogue, into the political conversation?
I think probably that is what it has done. That's the biggest thing. I don't know that how or what it will turn into the movement itself, whether or not it will continue with steam and can get organized in a sense where they are aside from occupying, so to speak, because that's great. It's all well and good to bring attention to this, and I've argued forcefully many times that these issues, which they have focused the spotlight on, are critical to the average man and woman here in the United States, and it has changed the conversation. If you just take a look at any editorial page across the country, people weighing in on these issues, and what are the issues that need to be focused on, and what are people looking for in terms of accountability, let's say on Wall Street, or looking for accountability in these policies, taxation policies, income to the poor, middle class, health issues. All of those are important issues that the average man and woman, Jane and Joe, here in the United States is very concerned about. And and like I say, for me, it all goes back to this issue of accountability. You know, for Wall Street. People don't like the bailout. I don't like the bailout. I know John's expressed that he was against the bailout. And so we have to fundamentally look at our financial policies. If something's too big to fail, then that, I believe that's wrong to protect an entity in our capitalist system and essentially throw taxpayer dollars at it. And so the average Joe is seeing that and saying, what about us? Who's taking care of us while these people walk away without any accountability?
John Munger, this wealth inequality issue.
Well, you know, I've told you in my last couple of shows that I had the numbers.
Yeah, you did. You said you had numbers, and I said, where are they?
Yeah, and here I have them in front of me, and they're put out by a professor at the University of California at Santa Cruz, which is a very liberal university. And it shows that in 1922, right after Woodrow Wilson, we had top 1% owned 36.7% of the wealth. After John Kennedy, 34.4% of the wealth was owned by the top 1%. And that number is carried through even during Bill Clinton. The wealthy owned more than that. They owned 38.5% and 38.1% of the wealth. As of 2007, the most recent number, they owned 34.6%. So the numbers have been relatively steady through the years. The highest in the last few years was under the Clinton administration, where the wealthiest 1% had a marginally higher percentage of wealth. You know, the argument that there's been a major change in wealth is untrue. There is, the wealthiest 1% do own substantially more per capita than the rest of the folks, but that's been consistent over the past century. There's not been a major change.
So you're contending, really, and these figures that you cite, that the percentage has not changed since the Great Depression.
It hasn't changed since before the Great Depression.
Before the Great Depression.
And since 1922. Now, you know, what I object to, and Vince is right, I have problems with the bailouts. I always have had. I have problems with crony capitalism that's going on out there. I think Goldman Sachs got bailed out by as an inside deal with the Obama White House. You know, the largest capital contributor to the Obama campaign was Wall Street. People have a tendency to think Wall Street are a bunch of Republicans. In fact, they contribute disproportionately to the Democrats, and Goldman Sachs is at the top of the list, one of the largest contributors. And this crony capitalism, I don't care who the money's going to, the government should be a fair referee. We should have regulations that referee, that is to say, create a fair playing field, but picking winners and losers and paying winners and losers, that is wrong.
Okay, John. Vince, what did you think of John's numbers? He brought the numbers with him today from this professor at the University of California, Santa Cruz.
Two things. One, in terms of the numbers, if you look at what happened for substantial periods of time after the Gilded Age, after the Great Depression, and then again after, for example, World War II, the numbers changed and went down. You saw the greatest growth in middle America in terms of income at those numbers due to both regulation, for example, after the Great Depression, and then after World War II, due to job growth, infrastructure, building into that social contract we have by government investing in roads rather than cutting back. And so it's one thing to say, hey, let's return to the Gilded Age of the robber barons. And if that's really what this report ultimately supports, then I'm opposed to that policy. You can look at it and say, yeah, this has been the way it's been if you look at a broad brushstroke picture. But the reality is just this last week, the Congressional Budget Office produced a report showing the growth in income for the top 1% versus the other 99% has been staggering over the last 25 plus years. From 79 to 2007, the income growth for that top 1% is going to be greater than any other point in history. 275% growth in that 1%, what they're taking in.
So that 1% is getting a lot richer.
The surge they have grown so exponentially over that 25-year period in time, and that's what the average American is saying, what's going on? And now we have a nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office report supporting what the rest of us have been feeling over the past 25 years.
Well,
so that's a huge validation by a nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office report showing that the people who are expressing their angst, expressing their frustration with the system, saying we need to do something about income inequality, and also not just income inequality, the leverage of the financial industry and other corporate players on the political system.
And that's what's got folks
angry. And then accountability as well. So that's what's got people dander up, and I support that. I agree with that.
Well, the problem, Vince, is that in 1965, after Kennedy and Johnson were in office, the 1% owned a virtually identical amount to what they own today. And in 1998, 1995, after Clinton, our 1% wealth is actually substantially down by 4%. So the numbers belie the political diatribes. And now, you know,
how do they belie what was in the Congressional Budget Report? I don't understand that statement.
The percentage of net worth of the 1% has remained fairly stable.
That's absolutely false. Look at what the Congressional Budget Report just put out this past week. They're saying the growth.
You're talking income. I'm talking net worth. Okay, there's a difference, and the net worths have remained the same. Now,
well, that's apples and oranges, John.
Well,
we're talking about what people are what they're actually receiving to pay the bills.
Well, I'm talking about my numbers go to net worth, and I will tell you that over periods of time, the net worths have remained the same. Now, I have serious problems with government picking winners and losers. Why in the world they bailed out Goldman Sachs, other than the fact that it was a major contributor to the Obama campaign, is beyond me. Why they bailed out the major banks is beyond me. These are
Let's
people
talk about
on
George Bush. This all started under George Bush. So that's such a false argument to say that a program of bailouts that started with George Bush therefore was aimed and designed to protect Obama. That's just so crazy talk, John, and I'm surprised you don't want to side with the average man and woman in this
I do side with the average man and woman that there never should have been bailouts. The problem I have with your arguments of income inequality and asset inequality, Vince, is that you folks want to simply redistribute wealth. And redistribution of wealth, and you want to do that by taxing. What you want to do is take money from one group of people and give it to another group of people, and that doesn't work.
At that point, we're going to take a break on the Buckmaster Show. This is the Monday Political Face-Off. John Munger is with me in studio, and Vince Ribago, and we were talking about the Occupy movement. If you'd like to join in, 790-2040, 790-2040. Do you think it's been a good thing? Let's hear from you. The Buckmaster Show continues right after this.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Sierra Shutters and Sun Control is the leader in quality hardwood O'Hare brand shutters in Southern Arizona. 100% customer recommended and satisfied. Sierra Shutters and Sun Control also has the highest quality blinds, shades, and state-of-the-art window tints that really make a difference in keeping your home cooler. Check out their extensive website at sierrasuncontrol.com or give them a call at 292-2212 for a free in-home estimate. With 2 out of 3 people in this country overweight, you're not alone in wanting to shed some pounds. Now you can lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope. The physician-supervised program created by renowned Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and certified nutrition counselor Elizabeth Gahn. To learn more about Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, call 696-DIET or log on to dietofhope.org.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Monday Political Face-Off on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture hanging, hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Framing, next to Copenhagen, Fort Lowell, and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. We're talking about wealth inequality, and Vince Rabago is with me, and John Munger. Vince, you're saying the top 1% are making a lot more. Is that your bottom line?
Well, that's not just my bottom line. Oh. That's the Congressional Budget Office's bottom line, and that the results are so staggering that the income inequality that has occurred from 79 through 2007 is so astounding that we are looking at essentially a return to the Gilded Age.
And is that what's got the people? Do you think
that's a big part of it. When you have the economy the way it is right now, and you have a small group of individuals making the most amount of money, and their wages keep going up, the rest, their wages, and John disagrees with this, but
the budget report
backs this up, that people are concerned. And then when you throw in, for example, what happened with the bailout, and yet no accountability. And you see entities like Citibank, for example, not only selling these bad products to others, but then at the same time betting against themselves and essentially destroying any true semblance of a real market, and yet they walk away with a no admission settlement. That's just wrong. And so at the end of the day, you have people saying, what's going on? Because then last year, year and a half ago, you see the U.S. Supreme Court saying that corporations have the First Amendment right to spend money on elections. And people feel that the system itself has become occupied by adverse interest to the people's vote.
Let's go to
one man, one woman, John, not one corporation.
Quick, let's go to Joe. He's on the Buckmaster Show live line. Joe, go ahead. You're with John and Vince and Bill.
Hey. Greetings, guys. You know what? If people can't, everybody is so exposed to this corruption, what's going on. Everybody is closer to being an Occupy-ist, if you will. You just had a 9% approval rating of the House of Representatives and the Senate. That means it's a 91 disapproval of the job these guys are doing. And you could include Obama in there, too. Connect that to 50 million uninsured. You connect that to these politicians, average. Don't listen to me. Listen to them. They'll tell you they're spending 8 out of 10 days raising cash in a back room, and it leads itself to yeah, everybody's talking about what happened. We spent the money in the bailout. That didn't do anything because we're not talking about the Wall Street fraud. I hear all the guys on the right talking about, oh, too much government regulation, this and that. What they're not telling you is nobody held Jamie Dimon's hand as he walked into his 90th trillion dollar spreadsheet or his balance sheet.
What do you think, John Munger?
Well, I'm not sure what that last, very last comment was about, but I don't.
Generally about the low approval rating of Congress.
Yeah, I agree there are low approval ratings, and I maintain that what it's about is it's about money and corruption, and it's, you know, it's interesting. Every time we increase government involvement in things, it becomes more and more and more corrupt with all of these unintended consequences. You have bailouts. And then then we're surprised that people abuse the bailouts. We give it's just like giving foreign aid to foreign countries, and we're appalled that the money's stolen. Of course, it's going to be stolen. That's what people do, and that's why you should have less and less involvement by government.
See, I would disagree with that. One of the biggest reasons for what happened both in the markets and on the front end with it when the bank to consumer loans in terms of the bad subprime products was a lack of deregulation. If you look back at the stock market crash and then the regulatory entities and the regulation that occurred after that, we had a relatively stable period of time. When did it go bad? It's when they started deregulating. When they started deregulating, since that period of time, you look at the 90s, 80s and 90s, and you have the savings and loan crisis, then you have what we are undergoing right now and what has been enacted by Congress in terms of the Consumer Protection Financial Agency. I don't think it goes far enough to address any of those sorts of fundamental structural issues, banks being able to trade derivatives secretly between themselves as a market tool and bet against themselves. None of that has been addressed by Congress. And yet they got 61 members in Congress right now on this financial industry committee.
Super committee.
As was pointed out by an opinion writer this past weekend, it's all designed so that they can keep raking in campaign contributions.
Well, I agree. And the reason they can rake in campaign contributions is because you get government more and more involved. And Vince, I will tell you, the savings and loan disaster of the mid-80s, I was involved with it. Representing some of these people. And I will tell you that what happened was the government came in and re-regulated. And they came in and re-regulated these savings and loans right out of business. They decided, we're going to revamp how one can read your financial statement. And incidentally, yesterday you were wealthy, today you're bankrupt, and we're going to put you under. And then we had a disaster, just like what happened with our recent housing disaster, where the government said, "Oh, everything's fine. We're going to take all of these loans. No money down loans. And Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are going to step in and buy those loans from the banks. So we encourage everybody to make bad loans. And then we're surprised that bad loans were made."
Let's see if we can go to Chris now on the Buckmaster Show. Chris, you're next on the live line.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Chris.
John kind of stole my thunder there, but I did want to mention this started with the Community Reinvestment Act. This started
exactly.
With everyone should own a home, just like everyone should have a college education with the student loan program. It is government at the source of it, not Wall Street. Wall Street was dirty, I admit, but our friends should have their anger in Washington. Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you, Chris. And here's the problem. People shouldn't be surprised when Wall Street or anybody else tries to take advantage of all of that money out there. That is not a surprise to me. If it's a surprise to the liberals, then shame on them. But when you start throwing federal money around and all of these programs, don't be surprised somebody's going to try to steal it.
Go ahead.
And that's what they do.
The reality is that Wall Street and the big investment banks, they lobbied for and they got deregulation. Let's not kid anybody. That's what happened. That's why it became more profitable for them to get up and run money up and down the chain in different ways with securitized investments and certificates and then doing these derivatives and these off-book trades that's really not what caused the problem. That's a huge part of what has happened with the market. And so when you say that government is the problem or regulation is the problem, that is just so false,
Vince,
and does not account for reality. Let me address one aspect of that. The reality is that when banks, for example, are allowed to, when the Glass-Steagall Act was passed, for example.
Uh-oh, we got to wrap it up.
We're running out of time.
Yep.
Basically, we need government to regulate entities that cannot regulate themselves.
I have no problem with creating a fair playing field, Vince, but that's not what's happening. Government is bailing people out.
You don't want
out.
Fairness on either the inequality side, or the regulation side.
I want a fair referee, but
gotta
government's picking favorites.
John and Vince, thanks. The Monday Political Face-Off on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and systems. Moe's is next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Thanks to all the callers. I'm sorry we couldn't get to you all. Kind of a hot topic and to be continued on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be talking about the state of education in Arizona with the Superintendent of Public Instruction. That's next. Stay with us.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Hundreds of schools are closed today. Millions are still without power after that weekend storm that left as much as 2.5 feet of snow in parts of the Northeast. A United Nations organization is going to see an immediate cutoff of millions of dollars in U.S. funding after making Palestine a full member. The Supreme Court will not be hearing a dispute involving 12-foot-high crosses that have been placed along Utah highways. The justices say they will not hear an appeal of a ruling that the crosses are unconstitutional. The Prime Minister of Greece says there will be a referendum there on a new European debt deal. On Wall Street, stocks sharply lower. The Dow is down about 220 points. The NASDAQ is off 46. More details at srnnews.com.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
1234 on the Buckmaster Show, and I am Bill Buckmaster. The home of the Buckmaster Show is AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. It is Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. You can listen to us all the way up to Phoenix, down into Mexico, and with the assistance of our simulcast stations in Douglas and Globe, we've pretty much got Southern Arizona covered from one end to the other. Actually, we are in 8 of Arizona's 15 counties on the Buckmaster Show. There's a new grading system for schools and school districts, thanks to the Arizona Office of Public Instruction. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line from Phoenix is the Superintendent of Public Instruction for the state of Arizona, John Hoopenthal. Mr. Hoopenthal, Superintendent, thanks for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure, Bill.
It's good to talk with you again. Explain to me why your office decided to go with this new grading system.
Well, this is something that it was a piece of legislation that I sponsored when I was in the legislature, and I had been looking at all of the other 49 states for over a decade to see what are they doing, what's working, what's not. And so I had focused on Tennessee because they had what I call a growth model, where they were holding schools and school districts accountable for the degree of growth of a student, and it wasn't effective, even though it was the most technologically cutting edge and logically a system that would work, and just simply didn't move Tennessee at all. They were a bottom 10 state, and they stayed a bottom 10 state over the next decade. But that's why I was particularly interested in Florida, because Florida used a half and half approach. Half growth of the student. You take a student and all the students that have been in the school for the full year, and did they go from the 30th percentile to the 40th percentile type of approach, a trajectory of growth. So half of it growth and half of it proficiency. And the movement in Florida was the largest movement in the 40-year history of the national assessment. Now, Florida did a lot of things, so we had to carefully deconstruct to see the degree of influence of this letter grade system, but our conclusion is that logically it's a superior system, and we think the system with the best scientific foundation. So that's why we moved to letter grades.
Do you think this will give us a better snapshot of how our schools are doing, Superintendent?
Absolutely. And I think particularly with an A through F range, before we didn't have as much emphasis on growth of the student. That was one problem, but also we had excelling, highly performing, performing plus, you know, performing, and people were putting banners out in front of schools. Our labeling system was guiding parents to schools that were arguably the worst in the nation. So we really needed to move. We really need to move away from the old legacy system, as we call it, to the new letter grade system for better guidance for parents.
What are some of these top districts doing? I've got a list in front of me from your office, and I want to mention some of them because I don't think they get enough publicity. Catalina Foothills School District, an A rating. Also in Pima County, the Tancredi Unified District and the Vail Unified District, all are A schools. What are they doing? What are these districts doing?
We see when we look at the characteristics, take for example Vail, you have a superintendent there who is very research focused. Every single policy move that he makes, he's got a research foundation for it. And of course, there's a lot of bad research. Most research in education is bad research. So he's developed discipline of straining through and finding out rigorous research to base his moves on. So he has had a lengthy commitment by the school board to him, 23 years that he's been there. So that's one thing we see is a lengthy commitment. We see that best practices philosophy. We see him internally having good accountability systems. He's got a software package called Galileo that very accurately measures the level of student achievement of all of his students on a quarterly basis. So he's tracking and giving feedback to the teachers as to, is what you're doing working? Is it moving students along? So internal accountability that even goes past the state accountability. He measures his relationship with his parents. He knows that 67% of his parents give an A rating to the quality of their child's education, which is well more than double the nationwide average on that rating. He measures job satisfaction of his employees. So he's a sophisticated manager and leader of the process. And we see similar things over at the Catalina School District. We see school board members who have been there a long time, who are very well versed in good education fundamentals. When we look inside their school district, we see a world-class curriculum and a good scientific approach. So a lot of common denominators.
790-2040, 790-2040. If you have any education questions, now is the time. We have the gentleman who is the superintendent of public instruction for the state of Arizona, John Hoopenthal, is with us. And it was a year ago that you were elected, just about a year ago to the day, superintendent. How would you summarize your first year?
Well, I think what we've tried to do is establish a culture of service in the department. I have 480 employees here, although most of them work for the federal government. But even among those, we're trying to get a culture of service that we exist not to run the school districts and the schools, but we exist to support those people who are leading those school districts. So answering the phone, engaging every person in the way that we would expect to be engaged if we were calling in, answering their questions, coordinating at a complex level, any kinds of support that's needed, making sure that we are guided internally by the very best research. So it's a work in progress, fixing the computer system. We've made great strides there. The computer system was a nightmare, and still some huge challenges in that regard, but we've made a lot of progress.
The National Education Reports consistently put Arizona among the bottom 15 states in the nation when measuring educational performance. Your predecessor took issue with a lot of these reports. How do you feel about it?
Well, you have to separate the performance of your students from the performance of your schools. And people go, say, what? But our students, the gold standard for measuring where our students perform is the National Assessment of Educational Progress. And we have a high percentage of low-income minority students, so we know we face challenges there. Our incoming students rank somewhere in the neighborhood of 47th, 49th in the nation. Our eighth graders, we're about 42nd. So, you know, average that out, we're somewhere around 45th in the nation in terms of the ranking of our students. So we're in that regard, we're in the bottom, close to the bottom 10%. Our schools, though, when you separate demographic effects and you compare our schools on an apples-to-apples scientific basis with the rest of the states, they rank about 21st. So, but to bring our students up into the top 10 of the nation, we're going to have to perform not only the best in the nation, but the best by a chunk better than second place. So that's our challenge, and, you know, we're up to it. We are looking at some educational software over the last three decades just simply hasn't worked. We've really carefully scrutinized the educational software out there. We think we have two mathematics projects software that are just going gangbusters. We have high hopes for that in terms of closing the achievement gap. So technological breakthroughs and supporting the dickens out of the school districts and schools and teachers and parents is the general strategy.
John Hoopenthal is with us. He is the superintendent of public instruction for the state of Arizona. We're going to take a break here, Superintendent. When we come back on the Buckmaster Show live line, he is called in. Dr. Mark Stegeman is going to have a question for you, Superintendent. So hang with us, okay?
Fantastic.
All right. 12:43 on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us. Let's hear from the fine lineup of Buckmaster Show sponsors. These are the people who make this show possible. Please support them.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
The Arizona sun is intense regardless of the season. That's why you need Sierra Shutters and Sun Control, Southern Arizona's custom shutter specialists and proud supplier of O'Hare Shutters, locally manufactured blinds and state-of-the-art window tints. Our power bills are less after installing Sierra's 100% hardwood shutters and window tints in our home. Call Sierra Shutters and Sun Control 292-2212 or check out their extensive website, SierraSunControl.com.
Want to lose weight? You're not alone. Two out of three people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, you could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it, but let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit PyramidFCU.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and 5th Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Halloween. It's 12:47 on KVOI, The Voice, AM 1030. With us on the Buckmaster Show live line from Phoenix is the Superintendent of Public Instruction for the state of Arizona, John Hoopenthal. And on the Buckmaster Show live line joining us, Dr. Mark Stegeman of the TUSD, Tucson Unified Governing Board. Dr. Stegeman, go ahead. You're with Superintendent Hoopenthal.
Hi. As you know, Superintendent, I support the charter school system, but we also both know that there are very strong and very weak schools in that system. In TUSD, we have a problem that some students that are doing poorly drop out of high school, get some easy credits in the weak schools in the charter system, and then come back into a TUSD school to graduate and get that degree. And we have, under current state law and regulation, limited ability to screen out that those students are exercise quality control. Do you have any suggestion about how we could address that issue?
Well,
just generally, I try to track a whole variety of measures on how they've fared since we opened up charter schools, and the movement started in about 1995. And one that I look at particularly is the juvenile crime rate, and the juvenile crime rate for the nation as a whole has fallen significantly, but it fell much more dramatically for Arizona. We had 25% greater reduction in violent crime, and we had a huge reduction in the percentage of juveniles in detention, jail, or prison. Now, I can't directly associate that with our charter school movement, but logic would suggest that there might be a tie. So, by and large, good things have happened since we have opened up charter schools. Do we have some challenges in the line that what you're talking about? This is true. Now, I would also make the point that we have some charter schools that are making almost the identical complaint against district systems, that they get students from the district system with a certain number of credits, and then when they try to integrate them in at their grade level, they find a great deal of challenge to do that. So there tends to be, among districts and charters to some extent, some of these charges and countercharges, but I would be glad to do a review of that to see what the latest update on that is and what some of the challenges have been. I know we worked on that quite a bit when I was in the legislature trying to work it out on how you what standards you have to meet to be able to grant credits and that type of thing. And I know there's some more challenges ahead of us.
Okay, Dr. Stegeman, thank you for calling with that question for Superintendent Hoopenthal. Just to follow up on the charter school issue, Superintendent, isn't it true per capita we have more charter schools in Arizona than any other state? And I'm just curious why that is, if indeed that is the fact.
Yeah, we have about 12% of our student population in charter schools. And, I was looking, for example, at California, and I think that they were being very aggressive, and they were up to 4.5%, if I remember the numbers correctly. And the so we have a much higher degree of choice. And the reason is that, you know, and I helped as an architect of this. I remember back in 1994, charter schools, the first 50 moved out on a 4-3 vote out of the Senate Education Committee, and I was on the committee at that point. And then when I got the chairmanship of the Education Committee the following year, I made it 50 charter schools per year instead of 50 total. So very early on, we made a commitment to parents having more school choice, and so that's a little bit of the history.
Superintendent Hoopenthal is with us on the Buckmaster Show. I wonder if you could give us an update on the, speaking of TUSD, we just heard from Dr. Stegeman about the situation with the TUSD's Mexican-American Studies Department program. What's the latest on that?
Well, I made my ruling that they were in violation of the state law.
Yeah, that was June the 15th, I believe, you made your ruling.
Yeah, okay. And then the Tucson Unified School District has appealed that into the administrative office's hearing. And the last of those hearings took place last week or the week before. And so now it's in front of the judge at this point. There are a couple of pleadings that have to be filed by both sides, and I'm trying to remember the timing on those, but then I believe that they were talking about getting a ruling sometime in December or January.
And you have said this decision, in your opinion, is not about politics, it's about education.
It is, and I think that in the end, what we teach in the classroom, we have to be proud of. We have to, if you randomly picked 10 of your citizens across your school district to come in and observe it, is what they would observe be upsetting to them? Would it violate their sense of where we are as a nation and what we should be teaching in our schools? And so that's what the court proceeding will be about now, is my ruling sustainable? And so it's probably going to go through two sequences, the administrative office hearing, and from there it could very likely go on into Superior Court.
That is ARS 15-112. That is the Arizona law concerning this. And one of the provisions that you ruled on is that this particular course was promoting overthrow of the U.S. government. Do you still believe that to be the case?
That was the one provision that we did not uphold.
Okay.
We did not find them to be doing that. The violations that we ruled on took place in other areas.
Which those other areas would promote resentment toward a race or a class of people, are designed primarily for pupils of a particular ethnic race. I believe those were two of four, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you stick with that at this point?
Oh, absolutely. We had a comprehensive review of, literally thousands of pages where we were able to look at specific lesson plans and making that determination. So it was a great deal of scrutiny.
Going back to the states have been asking for a reprieve from the tough grading in the 2002 No Child Left Behind. Where are we right now? Is Arizona joining other states and trying to get a reprieve on this?
We are going to be filing for that. Now, well, it's one thing to file for it. It's another thing to achieve your objective. But we are going to file for a waiver and what our objective is going to be, what I would like our objective to be, would be to unify Arizona under one accountability system, our letter grading system, and to then push aside the No Child Left Behind labels. And so it's going to be ongoing negotiation and discussion with the federal government at that point.
You had mentioned earlier that juvenile crime seems to have, the numbers show that juvenile crime is down here in Arizona. Are you getting a sense that our schools this particular school year have seemed to be a safer place to be, Superintendent?
Well, I have to caveat that the turnaround cycles on this data is annual reports.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that we are, as a state, not only just in the juvenile level, but at the adult level, we are experiencing levels of crime that we have not seen since the 1970s and the 1960s. So we are seeing violent crime way down relative to historical averages. So, but again, that stuff's all 1 year delayed. We don't, it's even, for whatever reason, it's even hard to get 2010 data. But as you track that along, we've seen, relative to that mid-1990s, we've seen very good outcomes in that regard with our juvenile crime data.
But it seems to be a downward trend, or does it seem to be a fluke?
It seems to, downward trend.
Yeah, the trend
we're
is
talking about a decade and a half data. So it does seem to be a downward trend.
In the remaining minute or so, actually, I've got about 2 minutes with the superintendent. Sunnyside and Marana here are among the school districts around the state. I think there's 20 in Maricopa County that are asking voters to approve bonds or overrides. Where would we be without the bonds or overrides for our education system, Superintendent?
Well, I think we do have school districts that are performing pretty well without overrides, but we're in an environment now where money invested in the education system appears to be yielding a dividend, and so that's the question you have to ask in each one of these districts. What is their track record for producing results? Can we trust them with this money? Can we trust them to do a better job with kids? And I know, for example, the Vail District, I can't tell anybody who's listening strongly enough, they've earned that money. They have worked hard. They've been well organized. They've been focused on your kids. They, in every aspect of you, every expectation you would have for a school district, the Vail School District has performed. And so I would wholeheartedly urge that citizens go out and vote for it, and that they encourage their friends and neighbors to vote for it. And I think that same level of scrutiny needs to be applied just generally to school districts that are asking for more money.
Okay, Superintendent John Hoopenthal, thank you very much for spending a half an hour with us on the Buckmaster Show. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, Bill, my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you very much. John Hoopenthal on the Buckmaster Show. On this Halloween, October 31st, I want to tell you about tomorrow's program. We have Terry Bracey. He is our Washington, D.C. contributor to the Buckmaster Show. Then we have certified financial planner with the Moneymaker Report, Shelley Fishman. General Wickham will be with us. He's got some things to say about veterans and, of course, the Iraq pullout that's upcoming. And Margaret Regan, Tucson Weekly Arts contributor, and we're proud to say, bi-monthly contributor to the Buckmaster Show on Arts. Stay with us. That'll be tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show at noon. The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, certified public accountants. They are located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. That will wrap it up for the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show on this final day of October 2011 on The Voice. AM 1030 KVOI. Hope you have a great afternoon. See you tomorrow at noon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.